What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another Investor's Digest market update brought to you by John Barr with Prime Homes. And if you're tuning into this on the Investor's Journey podcast, I highly suggest that you head over to primehomes.com and subscribe to our Investor's Digest so you can get a video link to where this is being posted on YouTube and get a PDF copy of the slides that I'm going through so you can kind of review these things and really understand what these numbers mean. Because just by listening to it, it gives some context to it, but by seeing the numbers on pages and seeing the graphs that we're going over, it really adds a new context to it and you can really understand in depth what it is that we're really kind of looking at. And before we get started, want to give a little plug on our Black Sheep Open that is happening this fall in September, that you can head to blacksheepopen.com and check it out. There are vendors, there are golfers, there are prizes. No experience needed. If you're just a single person, you can still sign up and put a level that you basically have only played putt-putt in your life, and we can pair you up with somebody else that is a good golfer, because it's a scramble format, which means of a team of four, you play the best ball. So if you're really good at putting but you got and not so good at driving, well, hopefully on your team you got somebody that's good at driving, not so good at putting, and you guys still can compete and come out and have a good time. There's banquets, there's prizes, there's raffles. It's just an all-around great time, and all proceeds go to benefit Homes for Our Troops, which is a nonprofit charity which makes adaptive homes for wounded veterans. So great cause, great times, a lot of fun. So I highly suggest heading over to Facebook or go to the website of Black Sheep Open and check it out and think about signing up. So with that, we'll go ahead and get into this month's market report. So the numbers overview. Now, this is May through July on, depending on what it is, and you can kind of see how I kind of put what month this is from. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics, where I kind of get my unemployment numbers, takes a while for the updates to really kind of come up. So you can kind of see where I get my information from. So average sale price in San Antonio was just shy of $285,000, which is a big increase of 5.57% increase from YOY, which stands for year over year. So this time last year, the average sales price has gone up 5.57%. Median sales price hit an all-time record for here in San Antonio, which is pretty typical for June. June is the month where we had the most closings to where the median sales price hit its peak. So it's at $231,500, which is a 2.7% increase year over year. Now, I have noticed that we'll see in a few later slide that the median sales price increase has started to slow down quite a bit. We're not hitting those high single digits into double digits like we had been a few years ago. But prices are still increasing. I think they're just starting to slow a little bit. Total sales was 3,606, which is a 0.6%, missed a percent sign, but 0.6% decrease year over year, so a little bit slower on the total sales. I think a lot of that is we've had a lot of sales and a lot of things going on here in San Antonio, so I think that's what's kind of slowly starting to hit the total sales volume. Average rental price is up 1.5% year over year to a price of $1,527, so that's really good to see that average rental price continuing to increase. That means we have a lot of demand for housing, rental housing, and it's kind of pushing those prices up to keep up with the sales price increase. Excuse me. Unemployment here in San Antonio was just over 1.166 million people, and that is a 1.36% increase year over year. But we did lose 7,000 jobs from the previous month, which isn't a lot enough, isn't very many jobs lost when you're talking of over 1.1 million people here in San Antonio. But to see an increase in employment is a fantastic number that we want to see that to continue to increase every single month. We don't want to see unemployment to start to shrink or unemployment start to rise. So here in San Antonio, unemployment is at 2.57%. which is a 0.01 decrease from previous month. So our unemployment here in San Antonio is absolutely phenomenal and just fantastic. We're lower than the the state's average. We're lower than the national average. So people in San Antonio are working. We are getting more people moving here. We're having higher unemployment, or not higher unemployment, but higher employment year over year. So everything is looking good as far as unemployment status here in San Antonio. And the why I like to watch these so close is that it's kind of a precursor that if people start getting laid off here in San Antonio and you will start and stop getting income, the economy stopped expanding, I would expect to see that start to roll over into the sales prices here in San Antonio. So if I start to see 0.5%, 1% increase in unemployment, starting to see decreases in year-over-year unemployment, jobs loss numbers are getting high, I'm going to start being very concerned of what's going on in the over market, because people aren't having jobs. That means they don't have the credit, or they don't have the ability to borrow to buy houses. So I would expect to see that start to roll over in our sales prices and our overall sales volume. Months of inventory that's actually supposed to be July, which is 3.42 months, which is a 0.36 month increase from previous month. Now, this is information that I pull myself, and really what we use this for is the strength of the market. Are we in a buyer's market or are we in a seller's market? Now, 6 months of inventory is our balanced market between there's just enough supply for the amount of demand there are for housing. Anytime that number starts shrinking in months of inventory like we have now, that really goes to show that there is more demand than there is supply. And to kind of put that in context, it's saying if no new houses got listed on the MLS and we still can maintain a sales volume of 3,600, it would take just or about 3.5 months for all of the homes in San Antonio to be completely sold. It's a very fast pace to be consuming houses. So that number means we are in a very strong seller's market. And that means there's going to be continued upward pressure for the prices to continue to rise for the fact that there is high demand and not enough supply to feed that, and that's going to drive prices up over long term in general. Now, there's pockets in that and price points, a lot of things that go into that, but that is an overall market inventory saying that we're in the whole market's in a seller's market, but there's pockets that might not be in as high demand or higher demand, and you'll see that later in a few slides. So the median sales prices. So you can kind of see this over time. Like I mentioned, if you're listening to this on a podcast, definitely head to the internet and subscribe so you can get a copy of this so you can see what exactly it is that we're seeing over time. But what we're really looking at here is we bottomed out in San Antonio right around 2011. And now what you're seeing is our real estate cycles. It goes up in the summertime, down in the winter, up in the summer, down in the winter, up in the summer, down in the winter. And each winter has been higher than the previous winter, and each summer has been higher than the previous summer. So we've been in a very long rising prices for, 8 years we've had year-over-year increases in pricing. And that's because Texas economy is really booming. We're getting a lot of people moving here. But it's something to really kind of take into consideration that best time to list houses. Now, it does not mean that you need to hold over months to get a house on the market. It's just something you can use to really visualize, like, when is the best time to list my houses? When do I really want to be buying houses to get them on the market to really catch that more in-demand time frame? The rents follow pretty much the exact same thing to where it goes up in the summer, down in the winter, up in the summer, down in the winter. And I don't have data back as far as I do for median sales price, but rents have been steadily increasing for a very long time here. It's where I have 6 years of data, and I'm sure it was something going back to the median sales price for the last 8 years we've had rental increases. So that's something that we continually watch, because the end game of real estate is to have a bunch of cash flowing properties where you have tenants paying off your mortgages for you and you have cash flow coming in. So this never really rises as fast or as high as overall prices, but it never really drops as low. But one thing you can definitely use for this in your business is your leases. There's no saying that you have to have a 12-month lease or 2-month lease or something like that. Like right now, we have a property on the market for rent, and we're getting ready to structure a 10-month lease because I want those properties to end in that April, May time frame, which is right about here, to where if I have a tenant leave, I can do any kind of rehab I need to do, paint, carpet, whatever it is, get it back on the market to catch that next wave of that tenant, to where then I will go to my 12-month leases so they land always right there at that late spring, early summer moving time frame. So definitely, definitely go ahead and implement that into your business. 20-year unemployment, and this is why I'm saying I'm not too worried if we get a kind of a slight increase in unemployment rates, because we are, pretty much at the lowest level in the last 20 years that I have for data tracked in San Antonio. What we're really looking at here is a dot-com bubble, and this is the last great recession for the subprime mortgage meltdown. And this is why I track the unemployment rate, because you can see how fast this thing can really jump up to where it took almost the meltdown started like 2008, 2009. Well, we didn't bottom out in real estate prices till 2011. So you can see that this is a precursor to potential real estate prices starting to fall. So that's why I want to watch that. If I start seeing 0.5%, not too worried about it. But if I see 1% increases or 0.5% increases month over month over month, I'm going to start kind of sounding the alarm for everybody, kind of saying, hey, we should might start looking at what's going on in the economy, start looking to figure out what's going on and why that unemployment rate is rising, and expect that to reverberate into real estate prices down the road. So the year-over-year appreciation, and this is kind of what I was talking about as why we're still going up, but we're not going up as fast. So you can see when we kind of hit our year-over-year appreciation bottoming out and how fast it turned back around for year-over-year appreciation. And for 3 years, we were hitting constant high teen or high single digits up into 10, 11%. But you can see since that time, about summer of 2015, still appreciating. We have not gone negative year over year, but we've hit some low points. But it seems like it's starting to cool off and slow down a little bit as far as the rate of appreciation. And what I think that's really starting to hit is the affordability issue, to where our median sales price 8 years ago was $135,000, and now it's up to $230,000 in 8 years, where wages have not increased as fast as the appreciation of homes have been, and there's still a very high demand. We have a lot of influx of population coming here, but people are kind of hitting the wall as far as how much they can afford, and it all kind of really comes down to jobs and what kind of jobs are being created. And I think that's what we're starting to hit, is the shelf on the ability for the mass majority to afford homes. So now the question becomes, where to market? Where do you market that you have the best chance to gain that appreciation for rents and values? Where's the most in-demand housing in the San Antonio area? So I do it by two ways. First, by zip code or by price range, and then I'll go by zip codes. So as far as price ranges go, and you can kind of see where the bulk of our real estate is sold, and it's that anywhere from that 150 to 250,000. Remember, it's 3,000 homes that sold in a single month, and almost half of them right here in this price range. Now, for our business, for our renovations, we really like to stay in that 250 and under price point because of this. Like, once it hits 250 to 300, you can see that it's almost a month and a half increase in the months of inventory. Keep in mind, the lower that number gets to zero, the more in demand there is. That means there's a lot of people wanting houses in those price ranges and not a lot of people supplying them. So we love renovating in that 250 and under market because there is so much demand for those housing and so much inventory does get sold. Not to say that these price points aren't good. There's still houses being sold, but they are higher demand. So the appreciation might be a little bit slower, and the demand might be higher, means you might be holding on to it a little bit longer. But they're still overall good zip codes because they're still below that six-month average. So there is still higher demand than there is supply for these houses. So definitely keep that in mind when you guys are going into your renovations. So now by zip code, where is the best, most in-demand zip code based on those months of inventory? Now, it's no surprise to see a lot of these, except for, below that 250 market like we had kind of talked about. Now, I do give you guys a two-year comparison and see what the average price was 2 years ago. Now, no, 78227 did not go from zero to 141,000. That just means 2 years ago, there was no homes that sold in July of 2017. And this is a more affordable zip code, 141,000, but there is 1.39 months of inventory. It means a lot of people demand that area or that price point as for relative to the number of properties that have sold and that are active on the market. So appreciation is doing well, and I would bet to continue that appreciation rate will continue to rise, much like these ones that have been in the top zip codes for quite some time, like 247, 233, 250, and I mean you're seeing anywhere from 20 to 30,000 in appreciation in just 2 years, and that's really what these low months of inventory really kind of calculate to. Over time, is there's just a lot of demand. Houses are going onto the market extremely quickly, and they're selling for asking price or above. And appraisers will take that into consideration and kind of bump up those prices. So definitely kind of keep this stuff in mind. And again, if you're listening to a podcast, I highly encourage you to get a PDF copy or go to YouTube and check it out so you can see what these top 10 zip codes really are. So now going to the highest months of inventory. Now, it's not to say these are bad zip codes. Don't go into them. Don't go into renovations, because the margins you can make on them can be significantly higher because you're just at higher price points, where if you're making 20% on the overall sales price, I'd much rather be making 20% on $600,000 than 20% on $150,000. But you definitely need to take into consideration your buyer pool and the months of inventory, to where a lot of these are higher price zip codes and there is high inventory across that zip code for number of houses. So it means buyers have a lot to choose from. So that means that if you're in this $500,000-$700,000 price range, you might not be getting an offer within the first week like you would be down at that 200 price point. You might have to hold on to them for 2-3 months, but it's something that you definitely need to check into your house. It's something we do. We check our competition in our immediate area and our zip code to understand like how in demand is housing and what is our competition level and what does our rehab do to make sure that we're not sitting in the market for 6 months like the average is. Like, where do we spend extra money? Do we put higher end finishes in the kitchens and the bathrooms? Do we do more landscaping, more staging, better pictures, more marketing to get the house sold? Because if you're paying interest on a $400,000 loan, every interest payment hurts. Comes right out of your bottom line. So you want to do everything you can to get that immediate offer to make the house look beautiful, to move it right along. But even with the high months of inventory, you can see that appreciation still has happened in these zip codes, and looks like only one of them's really kind of gone down, and that was 78202, which is near downtown. And that's, I don't take that as a good data point so much to think that it's going backwards. It's more, those are very old homes, need heavy, heavy rehabs, to where this last month, a lot of properties that are going to be rehabbed are being purchased off the MLS and the prices are lower. So that's something to kind of consider it, can take into consideration is the zip code and what kind of housing stock is in that zip code. So that really concludes this month's market report. So if you're listening on the Investor's Journey podcast, definitely head over and subscribe at primehomes.com to the Investor's Digest. If you have any questions or any comments, definitely shoot me an email at john@primehomes.com. And if you are watching this video on YouTube and you haven't gone over and checked out our podcast, I highly suggest it. It's where Jonathan, my business partner, kind of gets on there and does a lot of tips and tricks and things that we're learning along the way on our journey as investors and things that we've learned, so it can help soften and quicken the learning curve that you might be having, or kind of a collective business aspect that since we've been in this for so long, you might be doing a business a certain way or certain things and we've already experienced it, and we give you kind of what we've learned and it can help you in your business. So with that, I will be signing off, and happy investing, and we will see you guys next.